Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about tomorrow's voting in Iraq, the campaign trail to parliamentary elections, and the road ahead. We will hear many voices from Iraq this hour. But joining me first from New York is George Packer, staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. He's spent a lot of time reporting from Baghdad and beyond. His book, The Assassin's Gate, America in Iraq, has been called a definitive account of the 2003 invasion and its aftermath. George Packer, wonderful to have you.
It's good to be with you.
Thanks for joining us today. How do you see the stakes, the big questions, as Iraqis prepare to go to the polls? What's up in lights here as on the line, George?
Yeah, well, you said it well. I mean, the growing inclusion of Sunni Arabs in Iraqi politics is the single most important aspect of this election. But I would caution against imagining that there's going to be any radical turn in either the violence or in the growing sectarianism in Iraq as a result of this election. The administration has made the mistake in the past of conditioning Americans to imagine that with each of these political benchmarks of the political transition that the president laid out in his speech the other day, that somehow we had turned the corner. And there really is no corner to turn. It's much more of a long, slow, hard road in which this is an important moment, but it's really just a moment. And I don't expect the violence to subside as a result of this election.
And yet there's a lot going on here. Americans may not look for a magic corner at this point, but the argument may be about traction. We've seen elections come and go, and as you say, each time kind of hope spiking up among U.S. observers, and then we've gone back to insurgency. But do you see traction for the project here? Do you see something inexorable setting in if Sunnis do participate in significant numbers and win a significant representation in this parliament? Does it kind of begin to get the teeth of democracy and the rudder of democracy under this mess?
There absolutely is traction, and I would argue that it's not only on the political side, but it does seem that the American military has finally got a counterinsurgency campaign in place at the core of which is training Iraqi forces that is at last, after 2 years, a serious one. So, yeah, absolutely. This election and other events that have been happening recently, the constitutional referendum, all show that there is a process that Iraqis can join and that Sunni Arabs seem increasingly willing to join. However, it's not necessarily the opposite of violence. It may be complementary to violence. There may be, in other words, Sunni Arabs who will be elected to parliament and who will be the political face of the insurgency, much like Sinn Féin was in Northern Ireland. And they may be playing both sides of the street, violence and politics. So, and they also may well see this election as sort of their last chance to stop the Shiite juggernaut, which for the past year, according, you know, the feeling of Sunni Arabs has been that it's an oppressive majoritarian government that has violated their rights. And the revelation of these prisons in which Sunni Arabs have been tortured is one sign of that. So, in other words, politics alone is not necessarily going to solve the problem of sectarianism and of the sharing of political power. It's going to require leadership, wise leadership, and slow, patient compromise. And one thing I worry about is that if this election goes off very well, once again, Americans, conditioned by the administration, are going to feel that our job is really almost done and that it's now time to let Iraqis do it. Whereas, in fact, I think a great deal remains to be done, and it's a matter of years, not months. And this election could provide something of an illusion or a mirage.
A lot hinging here, but as you say, it's a long hinge. George Packer, we're delighted to have you with us riding along as we reach out to Iraq in this hour. I want to begin to do that, if I may. We are joined from Baghdad by Borzu Dargahi's correspondent in Baghdad for the Los Angeles Times. Borzu, thanks very much for being with us. What are you seeing there on election eve? What do events tell us about how it's likely to come off?
There's been a little bit of I guess surreptitious campaigning. There's not supposed to be any campaigning today, but it seems like Many of the political camps are trying to find ways to get around that. There was a bit of a controversy where a guy was on TV in London saying something that was that could be construed as insulting to the Shiite clergy. And the you know, the United Iraqi Alliance, the big Shiite list here, used that as an opportunity to call on people to demonstrate in the streets in support of the clergy and in against a this guy in London who made this comment. I guess it's sort of an effort to galvanize the base in the day before the elections. On the other hand, on the other side, there's been this you know, what turned out to be a spurious piece of propaganda. It was reported in the New York Times today on some websites as well. It turned out to be untrue that the Iranians were bringing fake ballots into the country, and that's something that is a very, very sensitive issue here. Though it turned out to be untrue, it plays on Sunni Arab fears that the Iranians are trying to manipulate the election. Again, an attempt to galvanize the base.
Reports there, now denied, of truckloads of forged ballots coming across the border from Iran. That's guaranteed to get people worked up. Borzu, there in Baghdad and around the country as you've seen it, has this campaign season been something Americans would recognize as a pre-election campaign season? What has the campaigning been like? How free, how full has the debate been? What's it looked like?
I think there's a few elements that Americans would recognize. On the one hand, you have swing voters. You have people who are undecided between voting for their sect and voting for their ideology. Voting for, you know, these are people who are pretty much going to decide the election and have been wooed by the different political parties. You've had machine-style politics. Patronage systems up in the Kurdish north and the Shiite south, where the political parties try to use the jobs that they've created and the jobs that they've supplied and the government positions that they've control to galvanize voters. And you've also had some trappings, I guess, of Western campaigning. You've had televised debates, which is something that you haven't seen here. Sometimes they're even funded by outside organizations. Yet Iraqis, even knowing this, still see them as a healthy thing, where candidates get on television and chat with each other and talk with each other.
Some Sunni clerics, very prominent, have said, "Sunnis, let's vote this time." Some insurgents have said no. What's the risk factor been for Sunnis as they try and rev up to participate?
Well, I think the violence does exist in the Sunni parts of the country, including the capital. That violence has eased up, however, it seems to me, as I think some of the more nationalistic insurgent groups versus the more religious ones really want to try to get a few of their guys into this parliament. You know, I think that there's going to be very little comparative violence tomorrow compared to the January 30th elections, which was the day with the highest number of attacks ever in post-war Iraq. And it'll be something akin to the referendum where we didn't see a lot of violence.
And what about Shiite sectarianism? They've got the numbers. There is the charge that they're kind of a intolerant majority, too much under the influence of Iran in some sectors. Is there a real fight here between secular Iraqis and sectarian vote in the Shiite camp?
You know, absolutely. I would say even cutting across the sectarian camp, it's not just with the Shiites. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, once all of this stuff is sorted out, and this was, you know, ironically pointed out to me well before the war, when someone said to me, you know, the big divide in Iraq, this is an Iraqi, is not between Sunni and Shiite or Kurd and Arab. It's really between the seculars and the religious, seculars and the religious people. And this person predicted to me that would end up being the big fault line in Iraq, as in the Middle East, as this whole enterprise moved forward. And I think that absolutely there's a huge struggle between those who believe in a secular government and those who think that faith should be a part of the government.
We don't want to lose sight of that as the voting goes forward. Right now, from Baghdad as well, we're joined by Ali Fadl, an Iraqi independent filmmaker. He also reports for The Guardian newspaper. He's been reporting from southern Iraq, Shia stronghold. Ali Fadl, thanks very much for being with us.
Welcome.
Tell us what you've seen in the south. What kind of campaigning have you seen there? Do you see Shiites pushing hard for the umbrella organization that's more religiously sectarian-oriented, or do you see a secular push? Do you see both?
Yes. Well, this time I went to the stronghold of the Shiites, the Najaf city, and to Diwaniya, which is right next to Najaf. These are two very Shia, extremely Shia places. This time the campaign in these areas is very, very strong. You can see that. It's the posters everywhere and on the walls everywhere. And also this time there is a kind of a new era in the elections, in the campaign for the elections. There is a kind of fighting between the lists. For example, you will see in most of the streets in Najaf or in Diwaniya, or even in Hilla, you'll see that posters for Adalau is torn down by some people, and at the other side of the road, you will see the 555 posters untouched, and some other lists as well torn down. It's a kind of a war. The posters, you can call it.
Ali Fadl, if you're there, can you tell us how do you feel as an Iraqi? Are your hopes raised by what you've seen in the advance of the election?
Well, it's a healthy thing for the democracy here in Iraq to see all these people campaigning for the elections, and it's a healthy thing kind of for the new Iraq. But the problem is there's a kind of difficulties for the people to understand how these elections going to bring the prosperity, the security for the new Iraq. The people are right now are, as you know, the past 7 months, 8 months, they passed in a period of disappointment with this government, the government we are dealing with right now, and they're trying to find out exactly which list or which people will bring the best for them. But at the same time, for me as an Iraqi, I feel like it's good to see all of these people, but in fact. And from my point of view, there's no one of this list that is really representing the hope for me. If you ask me myself whom I'm going to vote for, unfortunately, I'm going to vote to Iyad Allawi, whom I don't respect his policy in Iraq, but I have no other choice because we don't want to see a sectarianism in Iraq as we saw in the past year.
We've got the picture, Ali Fadl, and thanks for bringing us that word from Najaf and Shiite territory. Thank you very much for joining us.
Welcome.
George Packer, lay out the Shia camps for us, if you will, here. Ali Fadl talking about in Najaf, Iyad Allawi, who's running on he's Shia but running on a secular slate, if I've got that right, in competition with the more sectarian party or parties there. What's the tension? What's the drama?
Well, I wish Ali Fadl had stayed on the line because I wanted to ask him whether he thinks that this time around Iyad Allawi is going to do better than in January. I was in Basra in January when there was already a really intense political battle between the more secular list of Allawi, which included some Sunnis, very few of them in January. It includes many more now. And the coalition of Shiite parties backed by Iran, which represented the more religious tendency. I thought that Allawi was going to do better in January based on my reporting in Basra. He got about 20% down there and less nationwide. I'll be very interested to see how he does now, because after almost a year of sectarian government, as Ali Fadl said, my sense is increasing numbers of Shia are wary of voting their sectarian interests rather than national interests. They've seen the country increasingly divided. They've seen more and more sectarian violence and even ethnic cleansing in mixed neighborhoods. They've seen the growth of police commando units that are infiltrated by Shiite militias and that have been responsible, apparently, for killings and torture. And I have a feeling that those secular, more secular-minded or more moderate Islamist Iraqis who want the country to hold together are going to turn to Alawi as the best hope for a kind of national ticket. But on the other hand, the Shiite list now includes Muqtada al-Sadr's movement, which it did not include last January. Mm-hmm. Muqtada al-Sadr's people ran as independents. Now they're part of the Shiite umbrella, and he has an extremely strong following, especially among the young and the poor in the Shiite parts of Baghdad and southern Iraq. They may well provide a really large turnout of the vote that's going to once again sweep the Shiite list back into power. It's going to be extremely interesting to keep an eye on how Alawi does versus the Shiite list.
I want to turn to a candidate in tomorrow's vote now. Joining us from Mosul in northern Iraq is Hunayn Kado. He's a member of the Shabak Democratic Party. He represents the tiny Shabak minority, which puts him outside the big three there. He's running on the Shia 555 slate. We're delighted to have him. Hunayn Kado, thank you very much for joining us from Mosul.
Thank you very much, Chair, for having me with you. First of all, I would like to salute the American families for their beloved ones who lost their lives, for Iraqi people for building a democratic regime in Iraq. We would like really also to thank the American government and the taxpayers who are really trying to pump their money to build and rebuild Iraq. Thank you very much for having me with you, sir.
We hear the politicians speaking right away. What are your main campaign platforms, Hunayn Kado? What have you been appealing to the voters with? What's your message?
Well, my message is, you know, probably we are under a lot of pressure from, unfortunately, from our brothers, Kurdish political parties. They try to codify the whole area. They try to codify Shabak and dominate us. The main, my main message is really that try to preserve our norms and values, our history, and also to preserve our identity. And this is my first message. My second message is try to really develop the whole area. I mean, the area suffers a lot from negligence in terms of pure water, in terms of building roads and bridges and having health centers and extra. So we are really have these two messages trying to appeal to people to elect us.
So even with your very tiny sect there, the Shabak sect, you're running on identity politics and asking for drinking water and roads and bridges. How has this campaign season been? Have you felt free to campaign? Have you been threatened?
Well, as a matter of fact, I haven't been threatened directly, but I get a lot of messages, a lot of reports. There are some kind of attempts on my life, and also there are a lot of, a lot of blackmail and intimidation happening. And I think that a lot of ballot rigging is going to happen tomorrow, and that's really very bad for starting a new regime, a new era in Iraq, and building a democratic, and building trust. Really, the main problem in Iraq is there's no trust between different people, between different ethnicities in Iraq.
No trust.
Don't trust Iraq.
A warning of vote rigging, a warning of a lack of trust. And Hunayn Kado, I can hear your line breaking up on us there. Let me just ask you finally, do you look forward to more stability after this election or not?
Well, I think we are going to have more stability in Iraq, particularly after that the Sunni Arabs, decided to join the political process, and that's something very positive. And we are looking forward to have a stable and democratic regime in Iraq and having really a power sharing between all Iraqis. This is the only way really to get rid of all these violence and all these problems.
Hunayn Kado, candidate for the parliament in Mosul, northern Iraq. We wish you a safe and successful election day. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, sir, for having me with you, son. Thank you very much.
Borzu Dargahi in Baghdad, how do you see it? Do you see the election as having any chance of simmering down the insurgency, or is that not part of the dynamic here?
Well, I mean, that was the theory. It was all along the theory that you'd have this political process and it would, you know, get the Sunnis involved and eventually, you know, that would help tamper down the resistance, the violent insurgency, as these people saw that they could achieve their political goals through the political system. But that theory has not really borne fruit. We've had political milestone after political milestone, and yet, you know, we still have about 100, according to the military officials that I speak to in Baghdad, there's still about 100 attacks a day, nonstop, in, you know, very consistently, insurgent attacks. So, you know, just sort of quantitatively speaking, you know, that democracy has not led to a dampening down of the insurgency.
Borzu Daragahi, our time's drawing down, but we're very grateful to you for joining us for your insights. Thanks for being with us from Baghdad this hour.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Borzu Daragahi with the Los Angeles Times. George Packer, take us home. As Iraqis go to the polls tomorrow, can Americans take some quiet satisfaction in this, feel like they're closer to bringing the troops home, or is it still more up in the air than that?
Tomorrow, like January, I would guess, is going to be an emotional day and a cause for a lot of satisfaction among Iraqis, among American soldiers, and the American public. But we mustn't confuse it for the end or even the beginning of the end. This is a long history that's being written here, and what we're going to see tomorrow is simply one moment.
A big day, a big moment on a long road. George Packer with The New Yorker, author of The Assassin's Gate. Wonderful to have you with us. Thanks very much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.